And the Falcons staff, they're familiar with what you see and what you just described from Bo Nix. They did a private workout with him. The OC was there, Zach Robinson. He gave his thoughts on Nix.
Yeah, so the I ended up not seeing him in Indy, but we went to Oregon, and he had a great workout, you know, for us up there. We had a big group that went up there and saw him work out. Just talking with him, I mean, God, you know, totally loves football. He's all in. Tell how smart he was. Obviously, he's got some twitch in his arm. He can make every single throw. Extremely athletic. All those things were, you know, the reason why he was drafted where he was. And we had a lot of like for him as well, certainly leading up to it. So, it's no surprise to see he's having some success, especially early on. He's a veteran guy that's played a lot of college football, still learning the NFL game, but very, very talented.
I got a random question after hearing.
I got some random questions too, dude. I got random questions too.
Oh, he had a great workout when he was at Oregon. He has twitch in his arm. Whatever happened when they went west, they fell in love with Michael Penix. And you've heard different things, like you've heard the person he is, which is one thing. But you also heard, well, the fact that it was a really windy day. He made every throw. The throws into the wind were phenomenal, whatever. Can you imagine if they had drafted Bo Nix at 8?
Oh, dude.
And just hear me out for a second.
I'm glad
just
you
hear me out. Because we knew about Michael Penix in this city, and I say we, and I'm talking about the average fan who doesn't watch every college football game like some of us do. But we knew about Michael Penix. But we really knew about Bo Nix.
Yes.
And I mean, like, really knew. Like, we
knew all
every,
the negatives.
We knew everything that happened at Auburn that was that made him look bad. And I don't think about, I'm just talking about on the field stuff, right? Every failure he had at Auburn, we knew about on the field wise. And then we saw the game where he was here at MBS against Georgia to open up his Oregon career. And that is what the average fan thought of him. So imagine if you don't get an edge rusher and you go, Bo Nix is the future of this franchise. We took him at 8.
Dude. Oh, man.
What would this city have looked like?
I don't know. But to your point, and
unfairly, by the way.
No, I agree with that. I've been kind of working through this in my head, and as we've heard some of these comments from Raheem and obviously Zach Robinson, one of the things that I keep taking away is it just me, or were we told after the draft that, you know, it wasn't always our plan, but Michael Penix was, we just thought he was too good to pass up. And now I'm sitting there listening to him talk about the big contingent we had over in Oregon, and we got to know him really well, and I'm sitting there going, okay, so was that just the plan all along? Like, don't tell me that Michael Penix was just too good to pass up. Was the thinking of the quarterback that way all along? Is that why you're so front-loaded on Kirk Cousins' contract? Is that why in year three you only owe him $10 million? Now I'm going down this route of, have we been sold a bill of goods to where they saw some of the reaction from Michael Penix and said, well, you know, it's just one of those guys, we just couldn't pass, too good to pass up at that spot at 8. Or were you going into the draft going, hey, man, let's take a quarterback. Let's do this. Let's go find one. It seems to me that what we've heard and talked about today, and not to get too far off on a tangent, but it's been very insightful as to what the thinking was from his coaching staff.
What if it was both, Tiffany? What if it was like if one of these, and they knew obviously that Jaden Daniels, I know that they watched them, they knew Jaden and Caleb weren't going to be there, right? They knew that.
Sure, yeah.
But what if they took the other three, Drake, May, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, and please jump in if I miss anybody, and said if we're going to see the one we like the most or the two we like the most, and if they're there at 8, we're taking them. If nobody jumps up, we're taking a quarterback. We're going to take the future. Like, because they've said, I've heard in other interviews where Raheem was talking about that, you know, that they, and he said it on Dukes and Bell. It was when they asked him about the rookie class. Carl asked him, and he said, he brought up, and I don't want to butcher his words, but he mentioned the fact that, hey, we were going to fix the quarterback room for the long haul, and that was a problem at this organization, and we knew we had to fix it, and we knew that had to be done. I think that was always their plan. I agree. I think you're right, is what I'm saying, and the reality is they went to the three that they knew absolutely had a chance to be there when they picked at 8, and they said, we got to find our number one and then maybe our backup plan.
So how does that make you feel? I saw both of you perking up listening to him talk.
My next question, Tiff, is what kind of contingent Witten looked at defensive players? You know, if we're sending contingents out to the West Coast, out to Oregon and Washington, like you did how many people went down to Tallahassee and checked Jared Verse or wherever he was at? I mean, that's kind of my next question. And did we kick all the tires? Because obviously this question keeps coming back about the pass rush. You know, Tuscaloosa's not that far away. Tallahassee's not that far away. How many people went out, you know, from the contingent to watch those guys?
Well,
that's what I'm starting to ask questions about.
Now, I don't think that they didn't do that because hear me out. We didn't need Bijan Robinson, so to speak, when he got drafted. But because of where they were drafting, Terry, and I know that was Arthur Smith then, but Terry Fontenot took a contingent out to Austin, and they watched Bijan Robinson work out. And I'm not going to say that this is 100% that no one's ever told me this, but I do believe that they fell in love with him that day, much like Terry and Rod did in Seattle with Michael Penix, and then that was when they decided that like that was their guy.